This episode deals with themes of suicide and suicidal ideation. Listener discretion is advised. In our last episode, we looked at the life of Shehnaz Gul, the mysterious figure at the center of the death of Mustafa Zaidi, a poet and government officer in Pakistan in 1970. Shehnaz Gul was barely out of school when she got married to Salim Khan. They had two children, and in the 1960s, Shehnaz and Salim moved from Lahore to Karachi.
Shehnaz Gul settled down in Karachi. She made friends. She was a warm, welcoming hostess. She called her younger daughter Poochik, the Farsi word for small. She became friends with other women like her from middle-class families, the wives of senior government officers who were friends with Salim. Salim and Shehnaz often went out for the evening. They soon developed a new circle of friends, and Shehnaz's lifestyle became remarkably different from the cloistered existence she led in Gujranwala. In Karachi, she went to parties. She met the who's who of society. She talked to the men and women whose images filled the newspapers and society magazines. Sure, some of the women were having affairs, but there was no explosive scandal attached to them.
I'm Sabah Imtiaz.
I'm Tuba Masood.
And this is
Notes on a Scandal.
Shehnaz became a bit popular. Shehnaz and Salim didn't seem to have much social capital on their own. For example, we couldn't find a single photo of her in Mirror, the prime social magazine of its time. But the couple was friends with men like Ahmed Birbhai, who was in the cotton business, and who brought them along to parties at places like the Synth Club, an exclusive private members club. Shehnaz's more straight-laced friends found all of the socializing strange. Perhaps there was some middle-class morality at play here. Why did she go out so late, alone, dressed to the nines? Why was she hanging out with these men? It wasn't that these middle-class women weren't liberal, but to them, socializing had a limit. One of Shehnaz's acquaintances straight out asked her,
"There's nothing, it's just that I go to parties." Salim's friends also cautioned him to not give Shehnaz so much independence. A Pakistani way of thinking in which men give their wives permission to do things. But Salim silenced them. According to a report in Jung newspaper on 23rd November 1970, Salim would silence them by saying that he completely trusts Shehnaz, and she's not so naive that someone could take advantage of her. Salim's point was that they follow social etiquette. If they are part of a society, they fulfill its norms, not abandon going to clubs. And he would say that in polite society, it wasn't considered bad for women to dance with men or to be friends with them, but was looked on approvingly. At parties, she was fun. Perhaps not the most literary person. People probably used to look down at her, which had more to do with her background and lack of education than anything else. As her friend Shala describes,
"She was a very pretty woman. And she dressed well. She was pretty. She partied. And she was a very congenial person. But I think she didn't read. She was maybe into poetry because of him," referring to Mustafa.
Another person who socialized with Shehnaz and Salim said,
"Because I found her very soft, very cultured in a way. And she appreciates a good conversation or a good nazm or a ghazal or something."
Men probably flirted with Shehnaz. She was really, really beautiful. This is not an understatement. Shehnaz was the most beautiful woman anyone had ever seen in Karachi. It's the first thing everyone says when they remember Shehnaz. Everyone says this. Children, men, women, even people who hated Shehnaz. She was beautiful. The most beautiful woman anyone has ever seen in Karachi. Certainly, Mustafa wasn't the only man who thought so. We've heard enough from and about men who found Shehnaz attractive. There were probably men that Shehnaz found attractive too. As her friend Shala said,
"She was a simple woman, kind of a pendu, a woman who had been brought into society. These people brought her in and then they shunned her. All these men used to make beeline for her. It got to her head. She was a homebody. These men put all these ideas in her head. I don't know what her husband knew. If he did, he looked away." After Mustafa moved to Karachi, Shehnaz Gul saw him socially. Mustafa introduced Fayaz Malik, one of his friends, to Salim and Shehnaz. Fayaz invited the three of them to the boat club one day. On the way back, Fayaz planned to drop the three of them off. When he dropped Shehnaz and Salim off at their house, Mustafa got off too, to give a flying kiss to Shehnaz. One Eid, Jang newspaper reported, Mustafa took Shehnaz out for Chandrat, the festive night before the Eid holiday, and was among the first to show up at her house on Eid day. Two servers at a private members' club in Karachi later told the police that they often saw Shehnaz there, dancing with Mustafa Zaidi. On nights that he wasn't there, she would be with other men. An employee at Shehnaz's house told the police that Mustafa and Shehnaz went out to a local private members' club twice a week while Salim stayed at home.
Shehnaz and Mustafa would sometimes be seen in Karachi together at literary events or browsing in a bookshop. Mustafa called her Lali. Lali is an affectionate word taken from the word lal, which means red, on account of her pale skin and blushing. Or it also could be because of her middle name, which was Lala Rukh. Shehnaz apparently liked shopping. She bought fabric from a shop on Elphinstone Street. The clothes trader told the police she'd spend 5,000 to 8,000 rupees on clothes, which for that time is a fairly significant amount. The trader recalled Mustafa accompanying her once, and Shehnaz having fabric of his choice tailored at the shop.
In the months after Mustafa's death, Shehnaz would say that she had no feelings towards him. But in a statement apparently given to the police a day after she was found in the apartment, Shehnaz had a more complicated account. A disclaimer here, this statement was published in Jang newspaper, and then a week or so later, there was another statement that was apparently published in the morning newspaper. Jung's telling of the police statement, Shehnaz said that she met Mustafa Hossain Zaidi when he was Secretary of Basic Democracies at an event in Karachi 1.5 years ago. The ties between them grew stronger, and gradually they grew very close to each other, according to Shehnaz's statement to the police.
When the late Mustafa Zaidi's German wife learned of our meetings, then relations between the two grew tense.
But later, Shehnaz told Morning News,
my relations with Zaidi were only of the sort that a wife normally has with friends of her husband.
She apparently also denied that the two had any sexual relationship. Then there's a famous photograph of Shehnaz and Mustafa together at an event. Shehnaz is sitting on a chair and Mustafa standing next to her. It's hard to tell what Shehnaz is thinking. Is she flattered? Uncomfortable? Happy? Nasir Tarabi, a poet and Mustafa's close friend, remembered a literary event where Shehnaz and Mustafa quite well. Shehnaz would repeat Mustafa's verse or turn to Nasir and say, have you not heard these verses? And Mustafa seemed happy about how she could pick out his best work. Mustafa began writing poetry about Shehnaz.
Activist Shima Kirmani recites a poem by Mustafa Zaidi about Shehnaz.
Fankar khud na thi, mere fan ki sharik thi. وہ روح کے سفر میں بدن کی شریک تھی اترا تھا جس پہ باب حیا کا ورق بستر کے ایک ایک شکن کی شریک تھی میں ایک اعتبار سے آتش پرست تھا وہ سارے زاویوں سے چمن کی شریک تھی وہ نازش ستارہ و تناز مہتاب گردش کے وقت میرے گہن کی شریک وہ ہم جلی سے سانے ہے زحمت نشات آسائش صلیب و رسن کی شریک تھی ناقابل بیان اندھیرے کے باوجود میری دعائے صبح وطن کی شریک تھی دنیا میں ایک سال کی مدت کا قرب تھا دل میں کئی ہزار قرن کی شریک تھی
By the third poem, it was evident. This was a man in love. We'll never know how Shehnaz really felt about Mustafa, if these feelings have reciprocated. We know what she told the court during Mustafa Zaidi's trial, but we don't know what she said to her friends or family. Even years later, some of her friends didn't bring it up, and neither did she. To the world, this may have just seemed like a poet and his new muse.
No one ever came out and said that they were seeing so-and-so. People just assumed. They read into things. And that's what so many in the literary world thought of Shahnaz and Mustafa, who weren't publicly intimate. There were no reported public displays of affection. Even to other poets, the idea that Shahnaz and Mustafa were perhaps seeing each other wasn't surprising. They all knew Mustafa was married, but they all knew other poets and writers who were having affairs. Shahnaz's high society friends didn't even know about Mustafa. He didn't feature on their radar. To them, Shahnaz was another pretty, glamorous woman with a meek husband, who was not part of their extended circle. And in the aftermath of Mustafa's death, some of them had a lot to say. One of Shahnaz's friends would later be reported in the papers as saying that she was leading on as many as 4 men, including Mustafa, at a time. From a story in Jung published in November 1970.
I used to go to her house and also was her confidant in a way. I know a lot of things about her. But I don't know if she met smugglers. However, she would feel pride in telling the stories of her lovers. I am aware that Shahnaz was leading on 4 men at a time, which included the late Mustafa Zaidi, a local businessman, a Sindhi landlord, and a very famous Sardar from Kalat. Shahnaz had told me that I loved 2 of these men obsessively, which included Mustafa, and other than this, there was a businessman who had divorced his beautiful wife for Shahnaz's sake. Sheila said that Shahnaz would sometimes appear to be seriously worried and would say that my life has become a hell because Mustafa is insisting that I marry him immediately. The other businessman wants me to enter into a nikah with him immediately. On one hand, I have an association with an unemployed and sad man, and on the other, there's a link with a man who values me like a diamond. But I haven't been able to come to a decision. However, I want to get Mustafa off my back because of some of his activities. The text is a little unclear here. He has not proven to be a reliable friend.
Another person recounted Shahnaz describing Mustafa as a complete man. And there's at least one story alluding to their sex life. Even if Shahnaz and Mustafa were, to use a euphemism, more than friends, the Mustafa Shahnaz knew in Karachi might have been different. She had met a high-flying, powerful man, and the person in Karachi was depressive and moody, whose life was currently hostage to the government and bureaucratic whims. And he was obsessive, someone who couldn't take no for an answer. According to the statement that Shahnaz apparently gave the police in the hospital that was reported by Jung newspaper,
Zaidi continued to press that I marry him, and his insistence kept increasing. So one day, I explained to him that you're also married, the father of 2 children. I'm also married, the mother of 2 children, even though I like you, but I do not wish for anything beyond friendship. I will never be able to marry you. Do not insist. This is what's best. On the issue of marriage, we'd often have conflict. There were times we were upset with each other, but then we would quickly make up. He insisted many times and also warned me that if you don't marry me, then you'll be responsible for my death. You'll get tuberculosis from thinking about me. I used to laugh at these things and become quiet. I would say that you should take care of your wife, your children. If you can't be theirs, then how can you be mine? His wife was aware of our relationship. When the German wife felt that Zaidi loved her less, she took the kids and went to Germany. In his wife's absence, he became even closer to me. We would often go out, but his insistence on marriage remained.
But by the fall of 1970, something would shift in the world of Shahnaz and Mustafa. In August, Shahnaz was set to travel to the United Kingdom and West Germany. She arrived at the airport in Karachi to catch her flight, accompanied by her husband Salim. She walked into the departure lounge with Salim and a police officer who was on duty at the airport, most likely a cop who was on duty to escort VIPs and other important people onto planes. Waiting in the departure lounge was Mustafa Zaidi. Mustafa had asked his nephew, who worked at the airport, to help him meet Shahnaz. Salim escorted Shahnaz to the plane and left. Once Shahnaz got near the door of the plane, Mustafa managed to greet her and stepped into the plane for a minute. He gave her a copy of Leilo Nahar magazine, which had published a poem of his titled, For Shahnaz Lalaro.
Shahnaz traveled to London. She sent Mustafa a few postcards, which he showed to people who would later recall that they seemed affectionate. But she was hard to reach otherwise. Mustafa tried to get in touch with her on the phone. When he got through to her, as Fayaz Malik would later tell the police,
her response was cold and she had closed the telephone saying that she was going out somewhere.
Mustafa asked her to come back or he would kill himself. Shahnaz returned from London in the last week of August 1970, changing her schedule to come back earlier than expected, which she would later say was because of her wedding anniversary. Mustafa tried to call her, but she didn't take any of his calls. One day, she left her house around 10:30 a.m. While she was in a nearby area, Mustafa stopped her. He'd been sitting outside her house in his car, waiting for her. One of Mustafa's friends was reported in the Jung newspaper as saying that they had witnessed Shahnaz telling Mustafa that things were over between them. Shahnaz would later tell the court,
I never had any illicit connections with Mustafa Zaidi. He used to pester and follow me. It is totally false that I ever expressed a desire to marry him. In fact, he pestered me for marriage, to which I persistently said no.
She would also say,
my behavior towards the deceased was never warm, hence there was no question of it becoming cold.
This isn't how their relationship would later be portrayed in the court and in the press, where even details of their sex life became public.
In the first week of October 1970, Mustafa allegedly had a story printed about Shahnaz in a news weekly, claiming that the Export Promotion Bureau had given her some favor, a euphemism to describe that a government officer had helped her out illegally. Shahnaz, however, claimed that he had threatened to abduct her to marry him and that he constantly pestered and followed her.
On October 11th, 1970, Mustafa met Shahnaz at a party where he insisted that she meet him the next day, otherwise he'd kill himself. Shahnaz had told the police,
there is no doubt that I also loved him. I would get scared from such threats.
The people in Mustafa's life were used to him making such threats. They were dramatic, meant to get the person to do whatever Mustafa wanted. And Shahnaz, who cared for Mustafa, would get scared when he would make these threats. The next morning, she went over to Mustafa's house. Mustafa knew she was coming. He told Nasir Turabi that the two were going to have a discussion. But Shahnaz would later say that she went because he'd called her and threatened to kill himself if she didn't come. She went to dissuade him from committing suicide and save his life. This isn't surprising. Mustafa had tried to commit suicide so many times, so often declaring his intention to kill himself or to die to friends, that no one took him seriously. But Shahnaz did. Clearly, something was wrong. She said she hadn't had sex with him that day. In fact, she said, I never had sexual relations with the deceased.
On the morning of October 12, 1970, Shahnaz went over to Mustafa's house. She entered the house. The chowkidar Iqbal said hello to her. She went upstairs. She saw Mustafa was sitting on his bed. She came and sat to a side of the bed. They began to talk. While Mustafa and Shahnaz were sitting in his room, there was something else in Mustafa's house, something pivotal to what was at play in Shahnaz and Mustafa's relationship, and what would send the story into a completely new direction, turning it into the biggest scandal that Pakistan had ever seen. Locked away in the garage, in trunks, were copies of a flyer that Mustafa had designed. He had 3,500 copies printed at a local press. The flyer had the text, the horrifying character of the women of polite society who are seen dancing at night will soon be revealed, and all the characters of this modern society will be unveiled and shown in the form of a book. The flyer called Shahnaz Gul the Christine Keeler of Karachi, referring to the infamous woman at the center of the Profuma scandal in England. And printed on the flyers were photographs of Shahnaz, taken while she was in the nude. There was no word for this then, but we now know this as revenge porn. And while the flyers were in the garage, still undistributed and hidden away from the world, upstairs, very soon, Mustafa Zaidi would die. The following clip is from a recital that Mustafa Zaidi was present at.
Fankar khud na thi, mere fan ki shareek thi. Fankar khud na thi, mere fan ki shareek thi. Woh rooh ke safar mein badan ki shareek thi. Woh rooh ke safar mein badan ki shareek thi. Ye sher pata nahi aap gaur kare ya na kare, mujhe pehra. Woh rooh ke safar mein badan ki shareek thi. Utra tha jis pe baab-e haya ka varak varak. Baab-e haya ka varak varak. Bistar ki ek ek shikan ki shareek thi. Main ek etebar se aatish paras tha. Main ek etebar se aatish paras tha. Wo saare zaviyon se chaman ki shareek thi. Main ek etebar se aatish paras tha. Wo saare zaviyon se chaman ki shareek thi. Wo naazish-e sitaron tan naaz-e-maahtaab. Wo naazish-e sitaron tan naaz-e-maahtaab. گردش کے وقت میرے گہن کی شریک تھی او نازش ستاروں تناز مہتاب گردش کے وقت میرے گہن کی شریک تھی اور وہ ہم جلی سے سانح زحمت نشاط سانح زحمت نشاط وہ ہم جلی سے سانح زحمت نشاط آسائشِ صلیب و رسل کی شریک تھی وہ ہم جلی سے سانحِ زہرِ رشاد آسائشِ صلیب و رسل کی شریک تھی ناقابلِ بیان اندھیرے کے باوجود دیکھیں نا اگر میں کہتا بیٹا ٹو بندے رہا یہی ہے تو تو میں ڈسکرائب کر دیتا ناقابلِ بیان میں نہیں ڈسکرائب کر دیتا ناقابلِ بیان اندھیرے کے باوجود میری دعائے صبح وطن کی شریک تھی ناقابل بیان اندھیرے کے باوجود میری دعائے صبح وطن کی شریک تھی اور دنیا میں ایک سال کی مدت کا قرب تھا دنیا میں ایک سال کی مدت کا قرب تھا دل میں کئی ہزار کرن کی شریک دوسری
I'm Saba Imtiaz.
And I'm Tuba Masood.
And you were listening to
Notes on a Scandal.
Thank you very much for your feedback and advice and for listening to the last few episodes of Notes on a Scandal.
FYI guys, in the next episode, we will be dealing with Mustafa's perspective of their affair. You can follow Saba and me on our personal Instagram accounts. Mine is Tabahi Tuba.
I'm Saba Imtiaz.
Also on Twitter, Tabahi Tuba.
Saba Imtiaz. And you can follow our podcast on Instagram at MurderMystery70, where we're posting a lot more content and more context for this. For example, we recently posted a really fantastic article from Al Fatah magazine about a critique of Pakistani high society in the 1970s. The audio recording of Mustafa's poetry recital was given to us courtesy of Zaheer Alam Gidvai.
This episode was recorded at the Center of Excellence in Journalism at the IBA.